This episode of Black Trends and Beautiful is brought to you by Maven. Need a new hairstyle? Need to get glammed up as we go into the spring and summer months? Go to priestessbeauty.maven.com. Get 10% off on your purchase. Live, love, and be free. Here we go, girl.
That's what I thought you said. Now let me offer this as a rebuttal.
Leslie on the beat.
What's going on, everybody? I hope everybody is well on today. I have not been on this week, and I'm sorry that this episode is late. You know I am a big stickler for consistency on doing this podcast, but I do apologize. I have been away on a much-needed spiritual retreat. I was in convocation for my fellowship that I'm in. And while I am talking on this, I want everybody to join me on Saturdays at 1 p.m. with the Citadel of Champions. That's my church. As we have our Saturday live service, you can join us at 1 p.m. The address is 5000 14th Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. And if you can't get out, or cannot join us physically, you can join us wherever you are by calling into our conference line, 1-218-895-9244. Again, that's 1-218-895-9244. And the passcode is 12175. Again, that passcode is 12175. You don't want to miss out on this great word from the Lord. I do know that the Lord is going to speak and do great things. It's going to be awe and some. Now, as you know, that this is a Black History Month. This is Black History Month. Black Excellence Month, and I'm so excited about Black Excellence. With the premiere of Black Panther, which I was able to go see on this week, it was a freaking awesome movie, y'all. When I tell you that Chadwick Boseman, who is also from Anderson, South Carolina, big ups to South Carolina, Michael B. Jordan, Angela Bassett, Lupita Nyong'o, oh my gosh, this is when I tell you, this is an awesome movie. The cinematography is just jam up. I just got to tell it like it is, and when I tell you that the movie has some gut-wrenching points into it, but I must say that, oh my gosh, this movie is just freaking wonderful. I was able to go see it with my best friend. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but one of my favorite things that is said, it talks about the plight of the Black community. It deals with a lot of historical and current events. You see the plight of the Black race and the fear of allowing society to have our most precious gift. So you can take from that what you want. I'm not going to review it just yet. It's a great movie, and I'm looking forward to the sequel for Black Panther, because I know it's going to be a sequel, and I know they didn't make so much money, it didn't make some people mad, okay? Next up on my Black Excellence awareness, teen siblings, Charlie and Hannah Lucas have launched the Not Okay app. You can find this is Not the letters okay all together. It launched on January 31st, 2018, in honor of Let's Talk Day, to bring awareness to mental health conversations. And the Georgia-based teen entrepreneurs, the Lucas brother and sister, Hannah and Charlie, launched this app, which is a digital panic button to get immediate support from a trusted group of pre-selected people. You can go into the app and you can have certain contacts that you know that you can count on to help you launch the panic button, saying, I'm not okay, I need help, whether it's physical help, emotional support or you're in a situation where you don't feel saved. This app was created as a solution. After developing POTS last year, a condition that caused the then 15-year-old Hannah Lucas to faint, she was terrified of being by herself, and her fears quickly spiraled into anxiety and deep depression, which led to self-harm. During one of her lowest moments, in her room and contemplating self-harm, she thought about, what if there was a button I could press and someone would immediately know I was not okay? And that was the birth of the Not Okay app. And she, her brother was made aware of this, and her brother Charlie had been had went to a camp for coding, and she gave him the designs how she wanted it to look, and he ended up coding and creating this app. So what and I applaud these young people, and I'm so proud of these teenagers for taking the initiative. And he's and Charlie and Hannah have a great relationship. Her brother Charlie stated that, you know, he felt helpless seeing his sister suffer from the disorder, and he felt like he couldn't make her better, and he couldn't even watch her when she fainted, but he knew that he could step in to help his sister when she told him about the idea for the app. With the family nickname Tech Support, Charlie went to work. He wireframed the app's basic premise and figured out the best workflow. He even built Hannah a website and created their first logo. So he is responsible for a lot of the updates, the design ideas, and developer approvals. And he's already began initial planning for their next app. And kudos to Hannah and Charlie Lucas. Oh my gosh. Y'all check them out. The app is available on iTunes and Google Play stores. I advise you to check this out, because this not only encourages our young people, this encourages anybody to download this app. I don't care who you are. And this is, I feel like this is valuable for trans people as well. If they're in a situation on a date, and let's say, unfortunately, it turns violent, or either they may be in a car accident, or maybe, you know, they're meeting someone that knows they're trans, but because of how people come to the realization, oh, they're trans, I must be gay, and they have all this societal crap, or just someone having a good time and they may be in an unsafe situation, they can hit a button on that app, let someone know that they are not okay. Y'all download it. If you have to purchase some things, let's support these young people, okay? Okay. Now, again, I am so excited. I'm still reeling from Convocation and seeing Black Panther. I am going to go see it again and again and again and again and again until I can't see it anymore. When I tell you, the costuming, the hair and makeup is so divine. And I'm also ready for A Wrinkle in Time, which is being directed and everything basically by Oprah Winfrey and Ava DuVernay, who is the creator of Queen Sugar. So this year is proving to be another year of Black excellence, and I'm so excited. Now, in other news, I do want to send out my prayers to those families, those who have been affected, those who have lost loved ones in the horrific shooting in Parkland, Florida, earlier this week. My heart goes out to those families, to everyone, to the first responders, to the students, the teachers, everyone involved in this. Yes, even the shooter. 17 people have been confirmed to have died, others seriously wounded. Let's send out our prayers and love to them right now. I honestly feel that this is a great time to mention gun control. There needs to be something done about gun control. And come to find out, the FBI had received warnings about this guy, Nicholas Cruz, that did the shooting, but they did not enact on it. I guess he was too light. He wasn't black enough to be considered a threat. So, yeah. And what's crazy about the media right now, yes, media, I'm calling y'all out. I'm calling your asses out. Now, you remember when Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Corinne Gaines and several other people were murdered by police. Corinne Gaines was holding her son when they just busted up in her apartment. Tamir Rice was playing with a toy gun. Trayvon Martin was just walking home with a bag of Skittles and an Arizona iced tea with a hoodie on and got killed by a quote-unquote neighborhood watch, George Zimmerman. And they tried to paint these black people as villains, as thugs, as savages. Even Hillary Clinton referred to us as savages when we are not savages. But when a white person such as Dylann Roof, Nicholas Brown, the man that did the Las Vegas shooting, kill people, they say, well, he was a quiet man, you know, or they play the sympathy card by saying he was a troubled teen. His parents died at such and such age, this, that, and the other. But what about the black teens who are quote unquote troubled, whose parents have died or whatever, and they don't commit these atrocities? All they are guilty of is resisting arrest or knowing what their rights are supposed to be in a country that does not value them. Yes, I said it. And I'm very irritated with the media right now at how it differentiates between black victims. See, you got to understand, black people, black bodies, black and brown bodies are not allowed to be victims because they're looked at as thugs and less than. But let a white person shoot up a place, they're going to try to make him seem like the best person in the world. When we could obviously see, we have evidence that shooters in the past, that these white terrorists have been white nationalists. They've been seriously crazy, hell-bent on race wars, hell-bent on killing people just because they're different than them or because they're gay, just like the Orlando Pulse shooting that happened a couple of years ago. The man was mad because people were gay and he wanted to kill up some gay people. And the fact that we have lawmakers, predominantly Agent Orange, the turd that came out of his mother's butt crack, has the audacity to equate mental illness to these shootings. I think for him to equate mental illness to these shootings, that stigmatizes people that are living with mental illness. I deal with mental illness. I have depression and anxiety, which is managed, you know, which is controlled. I have my moments, even with me dealing with gender dysphoria at times. You know, it gets rough, but thankfully I'm in therapy. But I don't want to go kill nobody. I don't want to blow up nothing. I don't want to tash it up. Come on. But my thing is, instead of blaming what it is, racism, hatred for other people, just basically white nationalism, like the Charlottesville crap, but they get an easy pass. White people get an easy pass by saying, oh, it was mental illness. But let a black person be suffering from mental illness, they'll say, oh, he was a threat to me. He threatened me. He threw a knife at me. But we have people that have Dylann Roof, Nicholas Brown, Nicholas Cruz, all these other people have killed up thousands of people, have killed up scores of people, but they were taken away alive, whereas black bodies that were unarmed or that ran that were unarmed, just like Walter Scott here in South Carolina, was killed, and he wasn't even a threat to the police officer. Really? Is that how we do? You see where I'm going with this, and I mentioned this on podcast before. Racism is still prevalent. Let's call a thing a thing. Obvious racism, just like Philando Castile. We see the whole video where he says, I have a license and a licensed weapon in the car. I'm licensed to carry this. And he's reaching for his license and registration. He wasn't even reaching for the gun. But the officer decides to kill him. And he wasn't even a threat then. Y'all white people that are listening to this, I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody, but to those that are saying, well, he shouldn't have had a gun in a car. He said that he was licensed. Why is it that black people have to live differently than white people? That's not right. That's not right. And we see that the officer killed him really for no reason and got a slap on the wrist for it, basically. But the people like the NRA and different investigative companies are saying, oh, we need to investigate further. What in the hell more do you have to investigate? Just like Alton Sterling, he was selling CDs and the police took him down. The man wasn't even armed and they shot him in cold blood. Yes, we have the video of it and everything. And I am sick and tired of the media portraying black people as savages, as thugs, as hoodlums. When we have white people that have committed way worse crimes, See, let me tell you something. The real terrorists in this country are not black and brown people. It's white people. And if you don't like what I'm saying, tough. Get over it and admit the truth. I do not like how the media is trying to use this kid's history of him being adopted, his parents passing, and different things like that as an excuse when black kids that are killed for no reason at all are told, well, they shouldn't have been selling weed. Well, white kids sell weed too, or they shouldn't have been drinking Arizona tea. White kids drink Arizona tea too. So why are we playing the race card here? And I mentioned this during Black History Month because the media always has a way of portraying black people as pieces of crap. And I'm done on my rant. I'm going to come back after this break. I have some more things that I really want to share with you all. Smooches. Black Trans and Beautiful is now available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and YouTube. We're also on Spotify. So if you see it, share it. Follow us on Twitter at BTransBPodcast. Again, if you see it, share it. Tell a friend, tell that heifer across the street that you don't like. Honey, support this. We love you. And we're back. Again, thank you all for chiming in. Be sure to check Black Trans and Beautiful out on our Patreon at patreon.com/BTBpodcast. Support us. Just help us out. I'm going to have some more bonus episodes, some more bonus materials, so you can live, love, and be free with us. Now, earlier this week, Agent Orange proposed a plan to replace food stamps with food boxes. He's saying that it's going to save billions in the coming years by giving low-income families a box of government-picked non-perishable foods every month instead of food stamps. White House OMB Director Mick Mulvaney said that this idea is similar to the modern era Blue Apron type program, a nod to the high-end meal kit delivery company that had one of the worst stock debuts in 2017 and has struggled to hold on to its customers. He said that this plan would not only save the government money, but also provide people with more nutritious foods than they have now. This proposal, which was buried in the White House's fiscal 2019 budget, would replace about half of the money most families receive via Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as food stamps or SNAP. And he said with that, the Department of Agriculture is calling it America's Harvest Box, and he's saying that the package would be made up of 100% U.S.-grown produced food, and would include items like shelf-stable milk, peanut butter, canned fruits, meats, and cereal. But America's Harvest Box, which the USDA contends would save over $129 billion over 10 years, is not very comparable to startup meal delivery companies like Blue Apron. For one, Number 45's administration doesn't include fresh items like produce or meat, which are the core of Blue Apron and its competitors. Such products would, of course, perish quickly and are incredibly expensive to ship. And it would actually, in the long run, cost more money to do this program and to implement it than it would to help somebody. Also, spokesman Tim Murtaugh clarified that the states would have flexibility in how they choose to distribute the food to SNAP recipients. In other words, the federal government almost certainly would not be picking up the tab for any type of Amazon-type delivery system, and the projected savings does not include shipping door to door for all recipients. And the agricultural secretary, Sonny Perdue, said that the Harvest Box plan is a bold, innovative approach that would give SNAP participants the same level of food value as the current system while saving taxpayers money. And the idea that the USDA would provide millions of low-income people packages of food on a national scale have not been floated by conservative think tanks, promoted by industry, or sought by previous administrations. Murtaugh said the concept was developed internally at the USDA. That's the United States Drug Administration. Mulvaney on Monday credited Purdue for it during a briefing. During a briefing at the White House. However, numerous questions remain, such as how these boxes would be customized. For instance, for someone who has food allergies, such as nut allergies or can't eat dairy or can't eat gluten, different things like that. or for those who don't eat certain types of meats out of religious or personal reasons. And this proposal is so full of crap that some anti-hunger advocates initially thought it was a joke. Kevin Concannon, who oversaw SNAP during the Obama administration, was aghast when he saw the proposal. He says, holy mackerel, who said it reminded him of when poor people had to line up and wait for local officials to dole out food and other welfare benefits, which I partially remember this in the 90s growing up, where we would have to go to certain centers to get government cheese, basically, to ration out foods until they innovated the food stamp system. Now you get the food stamp card instead of the actual stamps. Other advocates said that the concept was reminiscent of wartime rations or soup lines during the Great Depression. The Food Research and Action Center, a prominent nonprofit group, called the Harvest Box idea a Rube Goldberg designed system that would be costly, inefficient, stigmatizing, and prone to failure. In budget materials, the USDA said it would be able to deliver this food at half the retail cost, blah, 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 yakety smackety. And is actually going to cut benefits to people receiving government assistance for food, for SNAP, things like that. And grocery retailers also laughed and balked at the proposal, including the Food Marketing Institute, which represents major retailers like Walmart, Kroger, and Albertsons, where tens of billions of dollars in SNAP benefits are spent each year. The industry argues that the government-packed food boxes would be inefficient. Jennifer Hatcher, the trade group's chief public policy officer, said grocery retailers had worked with the USDA and Congress over many years to achieve a system and infrastructure to achieve the greatest efficiency and availability and lowest cost. As we understand, the proposal in the president's budget to create a commodity foods box of staples, each of these achievements would be lost. And I'm not going to go any further with this. This is a stupid idea. There's nothing wrong with the food stamps program that we currently have. Just leave it the hell alone. Damn. Shoot. And my crazy thing is we have a lot of white people. Yes, I'm calling people out today. We have a lot of white people. And yes, some elitist ass black people saying, well, you know, if people weren't using food stamps to buy seafood and stuff like steak and lobster and stuff, do you not know that there are only certain things that you can buy with food stamps, such as foods that you can actually cook, dairy products, stuff for your children? People are like so ignorant. And what kills me is that people think that, oh, well, people need to get up and get a job if they don't want their benefits taken away. You have people that are living from paycheck to paycheck trying to feed their children. You don't know their situation. They may just had to change jobs because their company shut down or they got laid off or they have a sick child. You don't know their story. So before you open up your mouth and just shut the hell up, God. And I see a lot of people saying, well, these people that are on SNAP and stuff need to get better jobs. Well, what if these people are college educated people, high school educated people, and have great jobs or have jobs, but they're trying to support their families? And then you have people saying, well, they shouldn't have all of these children. Nobody said that to any of these white people having children that are on welfare. And a lot of people are looking at it as the administration of number 45, the doo-doo turd, as targeting minorities, targeting people of color, black and non-black people of color. When actually, if you look at it, there are more white people, Yes, I said it. There are more white people that are on food stamp programs that are getting government assistance than black people. So having that bullcrap on another day that black people are lazy and not wanting to work. This is for anybody that's receiving government assistance. You don't know that person's story. That person may be disabled. That person may just be getting out of prison, or that person may have hit a financial roadblock. Just like the people that were affected by these hurricanes last year, by natural disasters. Did you know that they had to get food stamps because a lot of places were out of business? They could not work. They had children and families to feed. So think before you speak. Think before you come out of your mouth with this. Now, I've had some people say that it's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea. I really don't think that it's a great idea for him to implement this. Like, just leave it alone. Leave it alone. Like, for real. Like, come on. And think about people who don't eat certain foods because of religious reasons, or people that have food allergies. Like, I have a nut allergy. I have a peanut allergy. I can't eat any kind of nuts. So let's say I was to receive those benefits and my food was contaminated by nuts, and I ate something not knowing it was contaminated with nuts. I'm in the hospital because of big ass government. So honestly, in my personal opinion and my prayers to God and the ancestors, I'm praying that this jackass in the White House don't try to touch the SNAP program when there was nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's been in existence for over 30 years. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. And I think what it is, Donald Trump is trying to have some kind of accolade and undo everything that President Obama did. Just like he got rid of this protection, this law, this clause from the Obama era administration, saying that people that may have displayed mental illness would be banned from getting assault weapons and things like that. That was the first thing he overturned. And now look what we've had. We've had 18 or more shootings in schools and public places since 2018. There has got to be a change. And the only change is when you get up and vote. Vote. Vote for what is right. And I hate to say it, we have a lot of bigoted people that are going to vote because they're bigots. But honey, if you are a person that believes in the right thing, not just something outlandish, but want everybody to be safe, have everybody to have wealth and food, please vote. Get out and vote, not just in the presidential election, in your local elections, in your state elections, in your city elections, because every vote makes a difference. Every vote makes a difference. That's all I really have for right now. Did not mean to go off on a tangent like that, but this makes no sense at all. And you know one thing I'm tired of? I'm tired of black elitists. I am tired, sick and tired of black elitists that think because they made it, they forgot where the hell they come from. Just because you made it doesn't mean you're no better than anybody else. No one is less than you, darling. Don't be so high and mighty that you get stuck in a rut and get humbled down. So with that being said, y'all live, love, and be free from the priestess. Smooches to you. Have a great evening. Don't forget to subscribe. Share this if you see it. Share it. Tell somebody about it. Love you.
That's what I thought you said. Now let me offer this as a rebuttal.
Leslie on.